Psalm 24 is a messianic psalm. Ultimately, it relates very specifically then to Jesus. If you have any kind of study Bible or you spend any time in commentaries related to this psalm, you'll read notes about Jesus, how he fits in all that's written, how the psalm really speaks of him, what he's done for us, what he's made available to us, what he's made possible for us, even as well what he's going to do. There's a reference or a picture, if you will, even of his return, his coming in great glory. All that is true of this psalm, but as well, and this would be true obviously for much of Scripture, there's a message here for us. I believe it's a real word from the Lord for us today from Psalm 24. More specifically, it's a request that the Lord would ask of us today. Interesting to consider that, isn't it? We're so used to our requests, making those requests known to him, because we know how much we need him. So we're always asking for his help. God, this is what I need. God, this is what I'm asking of you. We don't think of God needing anything. So it's an odd sort of thing to think of a request that he would have, something he's wanting, something even that he's needing from us, something that he's asking of us. This morning, really, the roles sort of reversed in that sense. Not your request, but rather his. This, the request that the Lord has, the thing that he would want and therefore ask of you. Psalm 24 and verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. I believe it today. The message for us, really, I don't say this flippantly, I don't say this casually. The real word of the Lord for us today, he wants to come in. And so he makes his request known to you and to me. Would you let him today? Would you open your life that the King of glory may come in? The scene that's set, the picture that's created, the gates and the ancient doors that we read of in Psalm 24. To the original reader, that's the temple. Even we would get that. In fact, most believe the psalm was written in connection with the ark being brought back to Jerusalem, and very specifically, the ark being brought into the temple. The ark that represented the presence and the glory of the Lord. Temple, get ready, because the King of glory is coming in. Consider that in light of the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? Listen to the word of the Lord then for us today. O you, his temple. Fling wide the gates, open wide the ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. In the New Testament as well, it's the Lord's word to his church in Laodicea. Hear me this morning, New Life. I believe it sincerely, I believe it strongly, his word to them back then. Yes, it's surely that, but no doubt about it, his word still for us today. I believe that it is in Revelation chapter 3. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. It's the Lord's request today. It's what he asks of us today. New Life. My brothers, my sisters, I call you each one by name if time allowed. Hear the word of the Lord today for us, for you, each one, for me. He stands at the door of our life and he knocks. And this his request, this the one thing that he wants, that you would open up and let him come in. We typically think of this verse in Revelation as an invitation for the sinner. Dear sinner, the Lord of glory, he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Won't you let him come in? I believe that's true. The Lord does do that. Good for us to present the invitation even in that way. If you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, listen to me. I would say it just like we often would. He stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. He wants to come in and bring his salvation to you. Won't you let him come in? But for us that have already made him to be our Savior and Lord, and would perhaps be inclined to think that the verse then doesn't apply to us, make sure that you make note in Revelation. Listen to me. The verse isn't written to sinners. It's the Lord's word to his church. He has saved you. You've made him to be the Lord of your life. You live for him. Listen to me today. Listen to the word of the Lord today. He stands at the door of your heart and life still, and he knocks because he wants to come in. He asks you, his church. He makes his request known to you, his temple. Won't you open up that the King of glory might come in? Maybe we would think of it this way. Let him in more, in a greater way, in a greater capacity. Let him in more, without limitation or restriction. Isn't that what we can sometimes do with Jesus? We're fine letting him in, but we sort of keep him at arm's length. We're fine letting him in as long as he doesn't mess everything up. As long as he doesn't change everything up on us, even in church, we're fine letting him in as long as we're still out by noon. We're fine letting him in as long as we still get to be in control. We let him come in, and he's going to come in, and he's going to do this, or he's going to do that. We want to be able to still say yes or no to the this or that that he's wanting to do. We're fine letting him come in as long as he doesn't make us to be one of those crazy, fanatical, speaking in tongues, on fire for Jesus, witnessing to everybody, everywhere kind of Christians. If our life is a party, Jesus gets an invitation. For sure he does. We just want him to remember he's the guest, not the organizer of this thing. We just want him to stay in the area that we've designated for him. How about that? Maybe we would think of it that way. Let him in more, in a greater way, in a greater capacity, without limitation, without restriction. Let him in into everything, not just his designated area. One writes, gates and doors are designed to keep out the unwanted. The Lord asked, though, that the gates and the doors be flung open because he seeks entrance into everything. Every action, every word, every thought, every motive. The question is then asked, is there any area of your life where you've posted a sign, do not enter? Is there? Do you have such a sign in some area of your life? I think it's what we often tend to do. We compartmentalize. And ultimately, we would know this for sure. Jesus is for here. Sunday morning at 10:30, absolutely. It's our prayer. It's our hope to meet with him. The Lord, the King of glory, wants in here. Sunday morning at 10:30, to that our response, oh yes, let the King of glory come in. But out there, the other not church compartments, the family compartments. The Lord of glory wants in there? You mean he wants in there to be the king there? How I treat and talk about my husband, how I love and take care of my wife, how I parent? But that's not a spiritual compartment. The king of glory is for the spiritual stuff, right? He doesn't want in everything, does he? How about the compartment that is our friends? What you do, who you are when it's your friends. Not the Sunday morning church folks, your friends. How about the just you compartment? What you do when no one else is around. The work compartment. The compartment where you keep all your problems. The one where you keep all your dreams. Unless I miss my guess, there would be more than one of us that have a do not enter sign on the door of that compartment. We don't want the King of Glory coming in and messing with our dreams. They're our dreams. And some of us live with the ever-abiding fear, if I let the King of Glory in there, he's going to tell me, that dream that you have, oh, that's not the dream that I have for you. Instead, I have this dream, but we don't want that dream. We want our dream. So there at the door of that compartment, we hang the sign, do not enter. How about the compartment where you keep all your failures? The one where you keep all the secret things. How about the how you spend and what you do with your money compartment? The entertainment one, what you allow yourself to be entertained by. How about the compartment from which you draw out all that you say? The how you talk compartment. The how you talk when you're mad. The how you talk when you're frustrated. The how you talk when you're not getting what you want. How about the compartment filled with your thoughts? What you think about. What you allow in there for your mind to dwell on and be influenced by. On and on the list could go. Listen, the request this morning, what the Lord wants. Hear me today. I know you know what you want from him. I know what you would ask of him, or at least I know you know what you would ask of him, what you would desire that the Lord would do in you and for you. But the message this morning is not about that. It's about him, what he wants, what he asks of you. Let him come in. Let the King of Glory come in. Not at arm's length, not with restriction or limitation. Let him come in, even into everything. The psalm makes the Lord's request known and as well helps us in our response. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him. Who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. That the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Three things. And track with me the progression here. The first is this. Be in awe of him. So here's the request. Let the King of Glory come in. And the immediate question from us. Who is this King of Glory? Who is this one wanting entrance, unrestricted and unlimited access to everything in me? Look at it through the psalm. In verse 1 and 2. He's the creator. Be in awe of your creator God. The earth, the heavens, all that's in them, under them, above them. It's his handiwork. He's done it. Brought it all into existence with but a spoken word. Can I just remind you of that today? For just a moment, let me get on my soapbox. Listen to me. Forget the scientists. I don't care the letters behind their name. Forget the Discovery Channel. I don't care if it is TV. It's nonsense. Listen to me. In accordance to God's word, I'm going to call them as they are. They're fools and they're foolish, because this is the story of creation. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, He spoke the word. He said, let there be, and there was. He's made it all. He sustains it all. He's sovereign. He's the ruler over it all. We're in the middle of a transition, or so we hope, from winter to spring. That doesn't just happen. He does that. You're beginning to see birds appear, and they're making noise, and maybe the nests are starting. That just doesn't happen. He does that. This earth that's spinning so fast as it hurls its way through space, that this doesn't happen. He does that. He's created it. He sustains it. Be in awe again of your God that is the creator. In verse 5, He is the Lord who blesses and the Savior who makes and declares us innocent. This King of glory is the one despised and rejected by men. The man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. This King of glory is the one stricken by God, afflicted. Oh, but this King of glory is the one pierced for your transgressions. This King of glory is the one crushed for your iniquities. This King of glory is the one who bore the punishment that brought you peace, who bore Calvary's cross so that He might bear your sickness and your sorrow and your sin. This King of glory is the one upon whom our iniquity was laid, so that He might make intercession for us, so that He might justify us, so that He might declare us innocent of all our sin, make us right again with God, make us even to be sons and daughters. Be in awe again of the King of glory who has done that for you. You're good people in the room, but listen to me. You didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve the King of glory dying for you. And even if that weren't enough, and surely it should have been, it's just the beginning of His blessings for you and for me. Blessings too numerable for us to even begin to count. In verse 8, He is the Lord, strong and mighty, victorious, invincible in battle. Oh, I wonder, but some of us have lost sight of that. Our God's not getting beaten around by all that's happening in our world. Our God is sovereign over it all, victorious in it all. He rules and reigns. He's invincible. He's never been defeated. I don't care what the devil has done. I don't care the history of this world. Our God has never been defeated. He never can be defeated. And you know how the story ends. He never will be defeated. He's invincible, victorious, strong, and mighty. Be in awe again of that. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we get to call Father, that we get to call friend. He's the undefeated champion. He's the Lord who comes into your life and into my life, not just a companion to share the load, but a warrior king to win the battle for us. Listen, be in awe of Him, all that He is and all that He does. Live your life always, each and every day, a fresh glimpse of His glory. The all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-present God who knows the end from the beginning. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. One day every knee will bow and tongue proclaim that He is, because He is. He's the one who died for you, so that you might have life in Him. He's the one who saves you and sets you free. He's the one who gives you joy and peace. He's the one who helps you provides for you, protects you. He's the one who fights the battle for you. He's God. And there's no one, there's no thing like him. Be in awe, be in wonder and amazement of that. Again, then this, be cleansed by him. The request, let the King of Glory come in. Our initial question, who is this King of Glory? It's been answered. Now we know. And now then, we are struck by our unworthiness, by our sinfulness. We're in awe and wonder again of who he is. He's the Lord of glory. And we see just how unworthy we are to let him, in all of his wonder, in all of his awe, in all of his holiness and righteousness and majesty and glory, we see just how unworthy we are in our sinfulness to let this King of glory come in. And so we recognize the King of glory is coming. We need to get ready. We need to clean house. That's how we do in the Tanner home. Come unannounced, and you'll see how we really live. Shoes everywhere, socks as well. My kids are firm believers that socks don't belong in drawers. No. And it's an odd thing. My kids are incredibly talented. They can take off one sock and leave it on the couch, and somehow the other sock on the dining room table. They're able to walk around in one sock, having taken one off, take the other one off somewhere else, and there they lie all over the house. My kids need Jesus. Can we just pray for a minute? Crumbs maybe on the kitchen counter, kitchen floor too, dishes in the sink, scattered throughout the living room, blankets, pillows on the floor. But let us know you're coming. Give us a few minutes, and we'll get it all picked up quick. Our kids have learned this. The secret's out. If we ask them to clean apart from their chore day, their response, who's coming over? They know. They know. They get it. The King of Glory is coming. We know there's a cleaning needed. And so we let ourselves to be cleansed by him. We make ourselves to live in the cleansing that he brings. Listen, Jesus saves us. He does. But he also wants to be Lord over us. He saves us and he cleans us. But he wants to be Lord over us so we live in the cleansing that he's brought. He doesn't just save us so we can say Jesus is our Savior and now we're just going to live however we want to live and let all the filth come right back. He saves us, he cleanses us, and then he empowers us to live in the cleansing that he's brought. Look at it in verse 3. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, that's your actions. It's what you do. Let me put it this way. That's what all of us can see. We look at your life and we can make the assessment. Are you living right? We can see it. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. The two, they don't mix. It's one or the other. If there's goodness, the fruit's going to be good. We can look at your life. We can assess what we see. Is it good fruit? Are your hands clean? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, that's the inside now. That's your intent. It's the motives. It's what we can't see. The clean hands, the outside stuff, we can see that. But how many understand you can make sure the outside looks good? You can make sure your hands are clean while your heart remains filthy. But what we read, listen, this is the cleansing that Jesus brings. It's not just the outside to impress everybody. Oh, that's good fruit. That must be a good tree. He wants to change us even really from the inside out So what's happening on the outside is because he has changed the inside. We're not in conflict. We're not double-minded, clean on the outside, dirty on the inside. No, that's not what Jesus died for us to have. That's not the way he died for us to live. Rather, instead, there's a cleanliness that comes within that affects and even results in the cleanliness without. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, that's putting away of worthless things, that's a singular devotion and loyalty to the Father, or swear by what is false, that's an honesty, that's integrity, no faults, no duplicity, not in how you talk, not in how you walk, that's the cleansing we need. That's the cleansing we seek and the cleansing we live in as we make ourselves ready so that the King of Glory may come in. Finally, this, be in pursuit of him. So again, track with me here. The request, let the King of Glory come in. And our resulting question, who is the King of Glory? Now we know. We're in awe of him, overwhelmed by the wonder of him, and all of a sudden, very much concerned whether or not the house is ready for the King of Glory. So we let ourselves be cleansed by him. We make it a priority to live in that cleansing. But there's more than just that. Now we know this King of Glory. We are in awe of him. And so we begin the pursuit of him. We chase after him. Look at it in verse 6. We take our place among the generation that seeks him. Listen to me this morning. If you're not pursuing Jesus, if you're not chasing after the King of Glory, it's because you've forgotten just who the King of Glory is. You need to be in awe of him again. And as that happens, as we come to know him again, glimpse again the wonder of him. Oh, how we find him to be our heart's desire, our heart's longing. Listen to me. If you can see Jesus today, you know already, you surely do, there's nothing better than Jesus. If you can see him clearly this morning, you know it already. There's nothing you need besides Jesus. If you can see him, you know it. There's nothing that you want like you want him. This King of Glory who loves you, who died for you. This King of Glory who saves you, forgives you, rescues and redeems you. This King of Glory who fights for you, provides for you, protects you, helps you, cares for you. This King of Glory who's the Lord Almighty, the Creator God, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. The King of Glory who's the King of all kings. More than anything else, we want him. Oh, I sense that you sense it stirring within your heart this morning. You want him. That it rings true inside of you. Oh, just give me Jesus. He's all I need. He's all I truly want. And so above everything else, we pursue him. Do you understand? Watch this. In awe of him. Cleansed by him, pursuing him, the request that began with the Lord, that first came from the Lord. Oh, won't you let me, the King of Glory, come in? Becomes now the request from us. Oh, Lord, King of Glory, won't you come in? I fling wide the gates. I open wide the doors of my life. No restriction, no limitation, so that even in everything, oh, it's my heart's desire that you, it's my request that you, the King of Glory, would come in. So the request from the Lord, will you let him come in? The question from the Lord is the word of the Lord for us today. Will you? We gather in this place and we come in wondering, what does the Lord have for us today? What does the Lord want to speak to us today? Listen to me. I believe it sincerely and strongly. Listen to me this morning. This is what the Lord would speak to us today. His word would be his request. I want to come in. Would you let me come in? The response from us in awe, in adoration. We remove anything and everything so that there's room for him. We remove the unclean, the sinful actions and the sinful motivations. We remove the worthless, the false and the fake. We confess to him. We seek cleansing from him and live in that cleansing then that he brings. And in awe and adoration, we seek him. We make what he wants, that the King of Glory may come in. We make what he wants to be what we want, that the King of Glory may come in. And the result, listen to me, the King of Glory, he comes in into your life, into everything, into every area. And listen to me, that means that in everything and in every area you have with you, even in you, the Lord who is strong and mighty. Come on, child of God. He that is in you is greater than anything that would ever come against you, because you've let the King of Glory come in, and he's the Lord, strong and mighty. Let me tell you why you're destined to be victorious, more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Led always in triumphal procession. Listen, your life is to be a victory parade. And let me tell you why. Because you let the Lord of Glory come in. And he's the Lord who's the champion, victorious and invincible. Do you understand? Open your life to him, and you have at work in your life all that he is. You have his strength. You have his might. You have his victory. I don't mean to oversimplify your problem this morning, but no matter your problem, I'm telling you, the solution really is that simple. You need the King of Glory, the Lord who's strong and mighty, victorious in battle. You need him to come in. Listen to me this morning. No matter the compartment, no matter how spiritual or unspiritual you think the compartment to be, I'm just telling you the truth this morning. What you need there, in that compartment, in the family compartment, in the work compartment, in the finances compartment, in any compartment that would make up your life, what you need there, in that, you need the King of Glory to come in. The Lord who's strong and mighty, victorious and invincible. The message this morning is simple. The King of Glory meets with us today to let us to know he wants to come in. New Life, listen to me. I believe it's for us as a church. Listen to the word of the Lord today. The King of Glory, he wants to come in. Dear brother, dear sister, I believe it's a word of the Lord for you today, for me today. The King of Glory wants to come in. And he asks of you, and he asks of me, and he asks of us today, dear church. The Lord, who has need of nothing, makes known his request to us. Would you? Would you please let me come in? Now, what do you say? I believe it that for each of us, the answer is the same. Oh, we fling wide the gates. We open wide the ancient doors that the King of Glory may come in. He is the Lord, strong and mighty, invincible and victorious after all. Father, this morning, we hear your word. We hear it. We hear you asking of us, will you let the King of Glory come in? And I believe it. Lord, I believe, I really do, that I can respond on behalf of everyone in this room, and certainly I can respond on behalf of this church. Oh, we want the Lord of Glory to come in. We want the Lord of Glory to come in. And so, Father, would you meet with us today as we make your request to be our very own. What you ask of us, we ask of you, that the King of Glory might come. This morning I want to pray the blessing of the Lord over you. Would you stand to receive that? I pray today that you let the King of Glory come in. Let the King of Glory come in. Without limit, without restriction, into everything, let the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, victorious and invincible, let the Lord of Glory come in. And I pray that the Lord would bless you. Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? As high priest of this assembly, under shepherd of the great shepherd, I declare it over you in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. Come on, would you receive that? Amen and amen. We receive today the blessing of the Lord.